talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today. The Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday here on WGH Talk Radio. Friday, November 21st, 2025. 19 minutes past the hour. Long news and obit report there. But we are back live for 1 hour this afternoon. We'll be back tonight, 8:15 till 10 p.m. And Matt's show will be on tonight live, 10:15 until 11. But the talk this week certainly has been about the city of Marion and the financial troubles that may or may not be there, depending on who you talk to. And we said this morning that we have some big news and a big guest here for the noon hour. Joining us, 3rd Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber. Jason, thank you for coming in. Short notice on a Friday.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Now, Jason, some news apparently has happened today in the city of Marion. What is it?
So, three things. The one thing has nothing to do with city council or the city. It's a competition that you and I are in that you're not aware of.
And no, I am now.
I have to get this off my chest because I am one up on you on delicious treats from my neighbor. And I received a handwritten note just explaining how awesome of a neighbor I am.
Well, I ran into the neighbor's husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a nice conversation the other day.
Okay.
So we might be back in a tie.
I'm still one up.
The holidays are coming.
And I still get the same treats.
We'll see. I'm going to ask for double this year.
Good luck.
Okay. Okay. Now, to do with the city.
Yes. So this morning I tuned into first part of your show, and then all of a sudden I'm starting to get text messages and phone calls. There was some sort of a snafu with the rollout of the ADP payroll. As of right now, I'm not for sure if city employees have received their direct deposits yet.
So city employees, as of right now, we don't know if they've been paid or not.
Correct. And I don't think it's all of them because we have people on different pay periods. So some's biweekly, some is bimonthly, and then I believe council and elected officials are paid on the 15th and the 30th.
So who would this encompass?
I believe it's would be. I do not believe it affects police and fire. I think it's the service individuals, the union guys.
So the sanitation workers,
sanitation,
the transit
streets,
people.
Yeah, transit could be. I'm not 100% sure. But like I said, there's different pay periods and it affects some employees, if not all.
So just not paid.
A good portion of them. Yep. So it was, from what I understand, the way it was supposed to be rolled out, wire funds to ADP. ADP then processes it to the bank, and then the bank processes it to the individuals to receive the check or to direct deposit. And for whatever reason, the wire to ADP was placed on hold until someone got to talk to someone.
But we don't know who that is.
We don't know who the someone that the deputy auditor was supposed to speak with.
So the deputy auditor was supposed to speak with somebody who,
I don't know.
At the bank?
I don't know that. So the only information I have, there was a phone call yesterday at 3 o'clock to discuss wire transfers of bond payments and payroll. At the point of payroll, the point of the discussion came to payroll. It's my understanding that Martin Watts said, do not do anything with it until I speak to someone.
But we don't know who someone is.
No, or what he had to speak about, because I would think that if you know when the pay periods are, you've been in this office how long, and this could be a routine thing, and I know it's not routine with ADP, but you still have to wire payroll somewhere. why you would say hold off, I don't know. And it's not a system issue. I've heard that being floated around too, but it's a person issue. It's always a person issue.
So somebody told Martin not to process payroll as he does every week.
No. Martin told an individual at our bank, Fahey Bank, not to send the payroll wire to ADP.
But we don't know why.
No.
Isn't that peculiar?
Very.
Now, why would, in the week of all the financial issue talk in the city of Marion, this is a very peculiar time for this to happen? Bad timing.
Timing is terrible, and I don't believe in coincidences, but I believe this is a coincidence just because the city has been well aware that our rollout date for ADP payroll fell on today. And maybe that's the reason why he had to ask somebody if we're sure it's going to ADP. I don't know. I'm speculating now.
Well, has anybody found Martin this morning?
I have not looked for him.
Well, did anybody reach out? Is there communication going on amongst the city?
That I have no idea.
But you're not in the loop.
I'm not in the loop. I don't want to be in the loop, because if I was in the loop, there would probably be some people fired.
So do you think he should be fired for this?
I personally think he should. Yeah, he's a holdover from the Robert Landon administration. He's the common denominator.
So you believe that the deputy auditor should be fired?
Absolutely.
Do you think he'll be fired for this?
So here's where it gets a little touchy, because that's a elected official's appointee. And if that elected official has faith in this person to carry out the roles and responsibilities placed on their shoulders, then they can keep that individual. But there's that particular individual has been the root of many problems. He's the same individual that sent $1.5 million to the IRS back in 2020 and resulted in a huge IRS debacle. He's most recently sent a similar payment without any appropriation to the Port Authority through an ESID payment. And then now he has to speak with someone and tells Fahey Bank not to wire payroll. Three strikes, you're out, buddy.
But he's directed by people, isn't he? Doesn't he have a boss?
So yeah, I mean, you always go to the boss. But as an employee, your responsibility, if that's your responsibility, then you carry it out. He took it upon himself to make the ESID payment. At least that's what I believe. I've asked questions about that particular payment to see who else was involved in that. I believe there had been conversations directing him to do it. But who directed him to do those payments? I don't know. I'm still waiting on answers.
So at this point, when will the citizen or our employees of the city of Marion get paid?
So they're hoping it will. Their direct deposits will hit today. But now we're relying on the receiving bank. So whoever the employee banks with, how quickly they process their direct deposit to their accounts. So some may see it today. Hopefully all see it today. And unfortunately, if the timing's such, some may not see a deposit till Monday, which would be a worst case scenario, and I hope that doesn't happen for anybody.
How big of a deal is this for the city of Marion?
I think it's a big deal. It just, as an employee, I want to, and I'm expecting a paycheck to be deposited on Friday, and I show up to work and I'm not paid. It makes me feel a certain way in how I conduct the rest of my day until I get paid.
So what do we chalk this up to? Just a mistake? Incompetence?
I don't know. Yeah, you can. I think that needs to be a thorough explanation of why this happened, how it happened. And again, we're going to have to start putting down corrective actions so to prevent this from ever happening again. And it seems that we're always making these corrective actions for the same individual.
Well, do you think he'll be at City Council Monday night? Should he be invited?
I don't know. I think Miranda will handle this, and Miranda will give us a good explanation Monday, if asked, or hopefully she would just volunteer the information.
But do you think she's going to be hung out to dry on this one?
I'm sure there will be attempts. And she has some responsibility in it. I mean, she keeps this individual around, and she may see something in this person that I don't. I think Martin's a decent guy, but for whatever reason, the decisions he makes and why he makes them just puzzles me.
Well, so there we are. That's what's going on today in the city of Marion. Now, this follows a week of conversation and confusion mm-hmm. after Monday night city council meeting. Mm-hmm. We're headed into our committee meeting, I guess I should say. We're headed into Monday's city council meeting. Where are we with the budget?
So ironically, maybe, the mayor sent out an email as I was coming here, and he said that he had a department head meeting today, and he was sending the email out immediately after that department head meeting. He asked all department heads to reduce their 26 budget by 10% and have that reduction to the budget director by noon on November 26th. And also, he, in his email, which I have to give him credit and some praise, he said that he cannot see how we can hire or fill the position of economic development director for 26.
So economic development director is off the table?
Yes, according to the email that Colin sent out this afternoon or this morning.
So when we talk about 10% reductions in every department, what is that? what departments does this encompass?
If it said, the email said all department heads, so whatever department that the city has, that's a department that has to turn in a 10% reduction to their budget.
Now, is this police, fire, sanitation?
That's a department within the city.
So there's going to be a 10% reduction in sanitation, police, fire. Those are the big ones for people.
Yes.
Okay. 10%, I know you don't know these budgets exactly, but how much money is that out of the police budget, the fire budget, the sanitation budget?
That I can't say. I don't know. So if I was trying to, if I try to remember what a previous budget for the police department would be, and let's just say it's $8 million, 10% of that. So I don't know if that 10% is enough to cut into personnel. I don't know.
Well, 10% of 8 million is what? That's
800,000,
isn't it? That's a lot of dough.
That is. And like I said, I don't know if that cuts into personnel. And I don't even know if that's the exact number. That's just a number that I want to say was a police department budget at one time. Or I could just be not recalling correctly at all. But 10% in the police and fire, I don't think is enough to get into personnel. Now, smaller departments, yeah. And
so, what about like transit?
So those are different. Those are funded differently. Now, transit is subsidized. Subsidized, I guess, is a good way to say it, by the general fund. They're majority funded by grants, and that's an enterprise fund. So is this all departments, this 10% to all departments within the general fund? I'm not real clear on that.
Well, will 10% get the budget to where it needs to be?
I think it'll close the gap, but I don't think I think there still will be, because the budget presented was $19.8 million. The projected revenues in the email the mayor had updated projected revenues, and it was close to $15.7 or $15.8 million. So just the increase in projected revenues close the gap a bit, and then 10% reduction from, what's 10% reduction of 19.8? So,
well,
so you got maybe $2 million reduction.
Yeah, so it's not.
So you're looking maybe at a $3.5 million gap.
And you also said you did not believe that there was $5 million in the investment fund.
Yeah, so that has a whole – that's a mess. And it is difficult to simplify what that account is because we have zero accounting of what dollars are tied to in that account. The budget director, Courtright, said that she was working on that. She has since left, and I don't know where that process is. And then in a meeting where we learned that Martin Watts sent a ECID payment when he should not have, the question was presented to him to identify what these dollars are tied to, and he said it would be a waste of time, and it really doesn't mean anything, but it does because these long-term investments are for projects. It could be through special funding. It could be through grants. And we have to identify them because if we don't, we're commingling funds. And then if we take – so an enterprise fund has to be self-sustaining. An enterprise fund dollars cannot be used on anything in a general fund. So – but the general fund can pay – for stuff in enterprise funds. It's kind of a one-way street. So if we're taking money, and I don't know this for sure, this is just an example I'm trying to use. So let's say in our long-term funds, we have a loan for a sewer project, and we're sitting it in there because it'll take a year to complete the project, so we won't need these funds for 6 months, so then we put it in our long-term funds. Now, when we cash out, like we most recently did with $2.1 million, I believe was the latest cash out. If we take that money out and use it for general fund dollars and our balance is decreasing and decreasing even, and I do believe that it's around $5 million, we don't know if we taken those funds and use it for general fund dollars because it's dwindling so fast and we have no accountability. Odds are that, yes, we have misappropriated funds and commingled funds.
So when we also learned, apparently, Councilman Rollins was on the other day and said that the enterprise fund, which is supposed to be self-sustaining, is also negative.
Yes.
How can a self-sustaining fund go negative?
Because it's not sustaining itself.
Well, yeah, apparently. Apparently.
Put it simply. So, yeah, and there's different things that can be done to make these different funds sustainable. And there was an attempt through transit to make it more sustainable by raising fees. And there was pushback for that. If you go to sanitation, your trash collections, to make that more sustainable. And I had a conversation with Tacy Courtright before she left, and she was sounding the alarms that fund wasn't sustaining itself and things needed to be done. And I said, I have a great idea that if we just implement it would save us money and potentially turn around to be self-sustaining. And I even presented that idea during a committee meeting, and that's – so right now the trash guys do a wonderful job, and they pick up whatever's on the curb. It could be one bag or it could be an entire contents of a house, and we don't really charge them more than the $20 – monthly fee. If we tighten that up and put it to a per container price, and each container you buy is another $20, so if you only have trash that fills one container, you're paying $20. If you have more trash, you have a larger family and you need more containers, then your bill will be $40. And we stick to what is in the container, that will take away a lot of the tipping fees that we have at the landfill. It could lead to a more sustainable program. But that fell on deaf ears. Maybe it's not a good idea. But here we are.
Here's a question that's been asked a lot this week. How did this happen?
What's the this?
The enterprise fund would be running negative at the same time that the general fund, the budget, might not cover itself for this year, have to be altered. Why was a budget presented that was $5 to $6 million more than the projected revenue? Why is the investment fund $12 million less money than it was 2 years ago? Less than 2 years ago. Where is this money going? What is happening?
The years I've been on council, I can only point to one budget that was that was presented to council to be the expenses were less than the revenue. There have been a few that have been close within maybe a few hundred thousand dollars, but typically the budget was deficit spending of close to around $1 million. And we always had a good handle on what a carryover amount would be to cover that deficit. Now, for the last 5 years, we haven't been able to get a good solid accounting for what dollars we have on hand. We've been spending blindly and doing the copy and paste of a budget from 1 year to the next year instead of doing zero-based budgeting. It's finally catching up with us.
Yeah, but what a lot of people don't understand, okay, we get and have known for quite a while now that the numbers might not be right and probably aren't. The reconciliations and so on and so forth.
So what we do know and what we have to always lean on are the statements from the treasurer. That's the statement of cash to the bank that the city has. That's the only accurate numbers that we have because we can literally look at a statement and see this much money is here.
Right. So even if we don't know that the auditor's numbers are right, even if they're completely off, how did it get to a point to where the city could be running out of money? If the city was being run the same way it always had been run, what has tipped it?
I'm trying to develop that answer myself. And I, where I'm at right now is over the last 5 years, we haven't had, I don't even have an answer developed enough that I can articulate it clearly. But I guess I just have to say I don't know right now. because it's difficult to, it makes sense in my head, but trying to get it out to in words that people understand, it's difficult challenge right now.
There is a perception that in the last 2 years, that a lot more money has been spent than in previous administrations. There is a perception that you have, there new positions have been created, like budget director, grant writer, that money was spent to rebrand the city, stickers, bus wraps, wall wraps, signs that say, welcome to Marion, love your city, whatever they say now, that transit, the services were expanded. There has to be more gas being spent, more payroll being spent, that there was a $10,000 party in the park that there was no conversation amongst council about when that was passed and appropriated, that these things have happened, redoing the website at a cost of thousands of dollars, that these things have happened in the last 2 years that had not happened prior to this period. Now, it makes everybody happy because they like things getting done and programs being expanded, but is it beyond the city's budget to do it?
So, at one point, I believe it was in the summer, I tried to sound the alarm of how quickly our long-term investment funds were dwindling. And the argument and the belief with the administration and maybe the rest of council was that by June or July of this year, those funds would be returned. They haven't returned, and we're continually going back to the well of our long-term investments and pulling those out to get through another month.
Why would they have returned?
I don't know. The discussion didn't go that deep. It just was stated that they should be returning by June or July.
I think you've heard some of the conversations on the air this week. There is a perception that council has been subservient to the mayor, that what the mayor has wanted, he has gotten. Questions have not been persistent. And that council is not acting on behalf of the people. They're acting on behalf of what the mayor wants.
I can see how someone can get that perception. And I'm guilty of voting for, I believe I voted for all of his newly created appointed positions, but for the special projects and development director. I believe that was the only one that I voted against, and the economic development director, the most recent one. And that was purely because even though I want to support the mayor and have him build his administration that will and his agenda will better Marion, I couldn't cross that line with the economic development director.
So who is running the city? Who when people want to blame somebody, because they want to blame somebody, who should they blame for this?
There's a lot of blame to go around. I place it on the shoulders of every elected official.
So did anybody say, this is not good?
No, I believe, like I said when I brought up that our, trying to sound alarm that our funds are dwindling, they had the belief at that time that these funds are coming back, that this was a Schertzer, these were Schertzer bills, and now that they're paid off, or they're paid, we're moving forward, and these funds will start to increase and come back, but we've not seen that.
What was that? These are Schertzer bills. What bills did he not pay?
I don't understand that. We did get a very colorful handout email to us from Tacy Courtright explaining where it was a result of my sounding the alarm of our funds dwindling. She sent this out, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, because I believe the $3 or $4 million that the mayor has repeatedly cited is due to having to pay two pavement bills, which I don't understand that.
So the question is then, a lot of question about the budget director. Let's start there, because this is a well-paid position. This is a position that was created when Collins first came in. It's not the same person that it originally was. But what does the budget director do? Because the title itself would lead you to believe that they're watching the budget.
Yes, and that's what council got sold on, to watch the budget and help the auditor. And I would encourage the council of 2026 to look at all the newly created appointed positions within the mayor's administration. If they are not an asset, don't fund their salaries.
Has the budget director been an asset?
I have not seen any reason to continue on with the budget director.
You know, Monday night, I was watching the Finance Committee, and people can go back and look at this, the Finance Committee meeting, which is where all this blew up. The way that the auditor, the tone that the auditor is talked to, the way that the tone that the treasurer is talked to, is completely different than the way the budget director is talked to when a question comes up about what's going on in their departments. Why is that?
I don't know. No idea. Do I do that?
I don't think you do that. The Finance Committee.
Well, January 1st of 2024, the new council made a decision of who they wanted on their Finance Committee, and they own everything that's happened.
The Finance Committee, they're supposed to be the oversight, right?
Yes.
Why didn't they know the budget was in this kind of shape?
I'm pretty sure that one of the three did.
Why didn't the other two?
I don't know. That's just how they want to. That's how some want to lead, I guess, by keeping secrets. I don't know. Maybe secrets is too strong of a word. Maybe they're not. Maybe they think they're being transparent, but they really aren't.
Well, why would? How did this Treasury Investment Board meeting happen the morning of the Finance Committee meeting on Monday? Over $2 million divested out of the investment fund, and nobody knew that the meeting was happening, and it had been previously agreed that these meetings would happen open.
Yeah, that should have been a public notice. I haven't seen, well, I should be completely honest, I haven't even looked to see if there's a public notice, because I thought we relayed a clear message that it should be, the Treasury Investment Board should meet on Monday nights of committee nights and post through our committee announcements.
Which they did at least once.
They did one time, because previous meetings they've had called, they weren't posting them properly. When I was on the Treasury Investment Board, we had an issue with posting meetings properly. We thought we posted a meeting, everyone showed up, and then we realized, oh crap, we didn't post this publicly. So we had to go home.
Here's what I don't understand about that. Okay, at least one of those Treasury Investment Board meetings did happen on a council night, a committee night. I believe
it was a committee night.
Okay, so it certainly was clear to everybody on the Treasury Investment Board that that was what was supposed to happen, that this is going to happen on committee night. And that board is made up of the auditor, the mayor, the chair of the finance committee,
law directors
on there, treasurer's on there, and so that's the group, right?
That is the group. Those are the voting members, and any member, from the way I understand when I was on Treasury Investment Board, typically it's the auditor or treasurer that calls for the need of the meeting. But the way I understood it, anyone can call a meeting, but they, whoever calls the meeting must be the one that posts it.
So the reason given on Monday as to why this happened Monday morning and not that night, which was committee night, was because Martin Watts, the deputy auditor, called the meeting, and he was supposed to post it publicly. Now, first of all,
how many strikes do you get in baseball?
Well, I just have two questions. First of all, can he call a meeting? He's not a member of the board.
Like I said, the way I recall when I was on the Treasury Investment Board, who calls the meeting must do the public notice.
But is he allowed to call a meeting of the Treasury Investment Board? He's not on the board.
Whoever calls the meeting, and by people that can call a meeting are people on the board, and typically it's the auditor or the treasurer.
And that did not happen.
According to, I believe it was Miranda, said that Martin called the meeting or posted the meeting.
Okay. Well, let's just get past that, and let's say that that happened and that was true. Everybody on that board knew that that was not supposed to happen. It was supposed to happen during committee.
Right.
That was well established.
And everyone on that board was at the meeting when it was asked, how much do we have in our long-term investments? No one gave an answer.
So,
and they were 6, 8, 10 hours removed from that meeting. They knew the numbers. Why didn't they say? Because they didn't want people to realize how much they've dwindled.
So, again, the point is, why, when that meeting was called, did not the mayor or the head of the finance committee or the law director or the treasurer or the auditor say, no, we agreed to do this tonight. We agreed to do this in 10 hours. Why we shouldn't be doing this morning?
I have no idea.
So, see, that's the problem.
Probably. Now, you're asking my opinion of why 5 other people didn't do something. Probably because they didn't want to have a meeting and have questions asked and put a little heat put on them, because people would realize that our long-term investments, cash on hand, whatever you want to call it, has been dwindling rapidly over the course of 2 years.
And not only was the media not informed, was the public apparently not informed, the two other members of the finance committee meeting that night, Aaron Rollins and Ayers Ratliff, say they were not informed that it had happened and were not aware. And the finance chair, who's sitting right there along with them, Twyla Lang, is a member of that board, did not inform them it was happening, and didn't report to them what had happened during that meeting. Now, this is a problem.
Yeah, it is. And again, my opinion will always be that they did not want to face any questions and feel any heat, which they're not they're not 100% responsible for the financial situation the city's in. So I don't understand it.
You know, the thing is, when you go to these council meetings, and a lot of people are paying attention because heaven knows it sparked a lot of conversation, you know, we can have our dialogues reaming the treasurer. We can have our dialogues about you need to do the training. Training, training, training. This goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks. Leads to a no-confidence vote. We can have we have seen this auditor reamed left, right, and sideways for 2 years, a little longer than that, actually. We get it, but these sort of things are almost like, okay, well, it was said, don't talk about it again.
Well, when you're in that position of power or perceived power, you can silence whoever you want.
So what questions do you have Monday night? Because I assume, I would hope that council would have a lot of questions Monday night.
So, going into Monday night's meeting, before we even start, I would hope, and I may even make it in a form of a motion, that the mayor gives the city council, the city, whoever, almost an impromptu state of the city. Tell us where we're at financially. Tell us what's going on. Because the rest of the agenda, there's items there where we're spending money. Do we have the finances to get through the end of the year? Can we create a building codes department? Can we hire this third-party firm to do it? So I think that needs to be addressed first before we even go through the agenda, and then also allow the mayor to give us the status of the finances of the city, and allow some questions and answer time that should be followed up to whatever the mayor would say to us.
Are you going to vote to have the three readings on a budget that would decrease 10% from every department?
Am I going to vote?
Because there has to be three readings that pass, right?
So
of the budget.
Any ordinance should go through three readings.
Right.
Now, we have a Rule 44 that allows us to suspend that three readings rule and then vote on it, whatever reading it is. If it's a third reading, obviously we'll vote if it's not needed. But so it's not as important to get the budget three readings, because if it goes to council and we change it, it reverts back to the first. So whatever reading it's in, once it hits January 1 of 26, that council would suspend the rules because they have to pass it that day.
So is this a good idea? Just chop 10% off out of every department? And
I think it's a start. We don't know. We haven't realized what that looks like yet. So if the 10% is no employees losing their jobs or hours reduced, and it just leaves a smaller gap, and the administration and the auditor, the treasurer, can demonstrate that we have a strong enough carryover to get us through the first 2 months of the year, because we're cash is important. Cash flow is very important. Right now, our cash flow is terrible. But if they can demonstrate all this, then the 26th council should feel fairly confident and comfortable passing a budget.
Okay, here's a question. Should city council get their raise?
So you're asking the guy that's leaving?
No.
And I've already been told that it's just my parting shot, that I'm trying to not let them realize their raise. But the optics of it, it looks bad. And I believe, to the credit of the mayor, he sees the optics are bad hiring a $120,000 position, that we're in financial disarray. Now's not a good time to do it. So that logic should apply to councils and their raise.
Okay. Now, when we're cropping 10% out of all departments, is the administration cropping 10%?
The email says all departments, so I'd have to assume that yes.
Okay. So, all of this being said, why, it wasn't ancient history, why 2 weeks ago did the mayor still want this economic development position? He had to be aware. I remember conversations during those meetings about how you're going to pay for this, and it was, I don't know, was the first answer. And then the second answer, I think, was, we're looking to cut some stuff out of the budget. Chelsea and I are working together to cut it out of the budget. Now, on that idea, it was passed. Now, was that a good enough reasoning for council to pass this position?
What was the reasoning?
It was he and Chelsea were talking during the last meeting, and it was like, we're going to get into this budget and find some money somewhere. It was something to that degree. I know it wasn't the I don't have an answer anymore.
So, I apologize. I don't know exactly what your question is, because...
Well, did he not know?
Did he not know...
That the budget was in bad shape at that point when he's looking for the money to fund this thing 2 weeks ago?
I can't answer if he knew or was aware of the budget at that moment. The 24 budget was out of whack by quite a bit, but... We thought that we had confident numbers. I did not vote for the 24 or the 25 budget. I think what a lot of this is a result of the not filling the economic development director, the fire department being on hold, and another sewer project being put on hold, comes down to one decision that the mayor made. And that's sending the letter to the auditor of state to classify us on some sort of fiscal distress.
But even if that letter had not happened, even if the state had not been here, wouldn't we still be in the same issue, in the same problem?
Yes, but it could be sold in a different way. The perception would be changed. Because now we're sitting waiting on the auditor of state to tell us if we're in watch, caution, or emergency. Without that letter, we don't have that hanging over our heads, and we can still put out that, well, we got strong investments, we got a strong carryover, and it'll cover this gap. That would be the argument they could use minus that letter.
Why does council not know, as a caller asked this morning, month to month, where the money's going and being spent, and what the financial state of the city is?
Why does an individual council member not know?
The whole council. Why isn't the mayor giving a presentation every month letting people know where things are, or the budget director, or somebody?
So council members receive a monthly budget performance report. And that tells you where departments are within their budget. So if a council member does not know that, that's their fault for not looking at those reports.
So these reports would have shown that bad things were coming.
Yeah, Mr. Rollins cited that report when he told Finance Committee that we're at $13 million in revenues and for 2025.
So how does the city get out of this?
Doing what the mayor asked. Start with a 10% cut. See what that looks like. And if the gap's too big, and we don't have the confidence in our carryover, or we don't want to dip into the long-term investment funds, then we look at a 15 or 20% cut. I don't know what, but this is the first step.
Can this happen without layoffs?
I don't know, because the original budget was, if I'm correct in my math, a 3% in deficit spending. 3% of the proposed budget was deficit spending. So logically, does that mean you reduce a third from that budget? And I think once you get into a 30% cut, or even a 20-25% cut, that's people.
You know, I think one of the problems, and the mayor might feel beat up this week, but I think one of the reasons that he gets the brunt of this is because there have been two previous mayors. I don't think anything like this happened under either one of them. They certainly had their own issues over time. I don't think it's come to any point like this. And I also think that it's the circle that we go into. It's that, well, the mayor doesn't make that decision, but then we go back to something like today where it's the mayor wants 10% cuts here, wants this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. Then it looks like he is making the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is it? Is he making the decisions which would be responsible for them, or is he not?
Is he not?
Does the buck stop with him?
It always stops with the elected officials.
Okay.
Whatever capacity they're holding, the buck stops with them.
Well, I guess the ongoing question again has been, why have such an aggressive agenda financially if you don't know the finances of the city?
I don't necessarily believe that Collins' aggressive agenda was a financial agenda. He did not come in promising he would fix city's financial woes. He came in with an aggressive agenda to rebrand the city, to change the perception of outside communities, what they had on Marion. That's his agenda. I don't know how to answer your question.
Financially aggressive.
Is the mayor financially aggressive?
Yeah.
As in
spending more money than his predecessors.
I think the money that he spent on changing the perception or rebranding the city of Marion, was aggressive. Did that lead to $1 million of deficits? No. I mean, we can add it up. It's a large number, but I don't think it's the sole reason. You can't hang that on the Collins administration's shoulders, for sure.
So what are we going to, in the end, say cause this?
No accountability. We've not known our financial position for years, and some want to go back to 2000s. Fine. Some want to go back to 70s, the 80s. We've always had issues with accountability, and it just, in my opinion, it really festered in 2020.
So why didn't this happen to Mayor Schertzer? Why didn't the investment account dwindle? Why didn't
now it started in Schertz's administration, going to the well of the long term investments in his administration. We started that 22, because for whatever reason we haven't problem looking at a calendar and understanding when bond payments are due. And now we could, I guess it's not fair to say that it's solely a person not looking at the calendar to know when payments are due. It's a reflection of cash flow issues. And when you have a cash flow issue, that's a huge signal or red flag that you're broke. Because anyone that's ever lived check to check, I still do. If your bill's due on this day, but you don't have the cash to pay it, you got a problem.
So basically, where we sit today is that city employees did not get paid this morning, but that was a mistake that the deputy auditor made.
Yes.
We don't know why.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe they'll get paid today, maybe Monday. Something will happen there. The mayor has decided to do away with the economic development position for next year and cut 10% out of every department. He wants all department heads to cut 10% somehow.
Yes.
And there's still going to be more that needs to be done financially before the end of the year. And we head into a city council meeting on Monday.
Yes. I would say that you characterize it pretty well. Now, I would not go as strong as saying that doing away with the economic development director. I would say that it's just not going to be funded right now, immediately in the 26. And things could turn around. Maybe they can find cuts in different places, and because the city of Marion cannot go another year without economic development. Whether Can Do provided poor service or not, we're getting no service.
Well, I'm sure we'll continue the conversation tonight, and anything we learn between now and then, we'll bring back tonight, 8:15 to 10 p.m. Matt, you got anything to say? Nothing? No. Nothing on this one?
What?
Did I know he was on fire the first hour. Now,
when I was listening at 8 o'clock, but now you're just, are you napping over there?
No, he's asleep. He's asleep. Well, Jason, thanks for coming in and giving us information that I think the citizens deserve to know, and we'll be back tonight. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Kids Life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance and honest answers to their questions. And it makes a difference when the message is consistent